Hello, and welcome to A Writer's Journey, the podcast that will talk about everything the aspiring author wants to know about going from blank page to published. I'm Sarah Whitford, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrence Zepke. Today, we're on episode number 9, and we're going to talk about dealing with distractions. Okay, Terrence, you know that I know all about dealing with distractions. I mean, we both do, but I am a stay-at-home, work-at-home mom, and I also homeschool my 11-year-old son. I do magazine editing. I do website development. I have two dogs, and I'm a busy, busy girl, and yet somehow I'm still determined to write and get, you know, finish my novel and publish independently and all that good stuff.
And this podcast.
Yes, and this podcast. That's right. That's exactly right. And also, I'm excited because I'm going to be helping you a little bit here and there with your new podcast that you have coming out very soon, Terrence Talks Travel. Little plug there. Very exciting.
So, good job.
So, all kinds of things. But this is so important, dealing with distractions. And, you know, I know you have a lot of really great ideas about this, and I want to hear all about them, but I'm learning as I go as far as this whole dealing with distractions business.
Well, you and I have different ideas of distractions, or different things that distract us.
Mm-hmm.
I think as we talked about that a bit before we got started, and we have different ways of dealing with it, different kinds of distractions. So I think this will be good because we have different things to bring to the table here.
Yeah, well, so tell us from your side of things, because I want to hear. You're a very experienced writer. You have published 24 books. You've been at this for a while, and so I think you've probably got it down to a fine science now.
Well, you know I'm a planner.
Yeah, I know you're a planner.
And I have to be. Sarah makes fun of me, but I have a pretty busy schedule too, and I'm traveling a lot. So when I'm home, I have to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't get distracted, and so I just really, when I'm home, I have to write, and I have to focus on all the stuff that's happened while I was gone as well, because life doesn't stop
mm-hmm.
when you're out of town. So that's interesting. So for me, one of the biggest things, and this is, again, I didn't realize how different we were in this aspect until we started talking about this. My number one thing of dealing with distractions, and my number one advice is, I actually have three things to say, and one would be discover your best creative space.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be in your garage, it can be in your basement, it could be in a little corner of the attic. I've seen where people have turned gardening sheds into little writer's retreats,
mm-hmm.
A little designated office or study area. For me, I have an office. And when I come in and I close that door, that physically and mentally means I know what I'm doing. I'm here to do this. I'm not here to cook something to eat, to get to social media, to do whatever. I'm here in my creative space to do my creative thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's real important to me. And people know when I go into the office, I don't take my phone. I don't have a phone in my office. And so there's no excuses when I go in. And I have a feng shui thing, which you and I are going to talk about in another episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you and I differ on that.
Uh-huh.
but that's me, and I know you don't write the same way. That's not how you deal with distractions for you. You don't go in an office and close a door.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact, you do a lot of writing in an easy chair, I think.
Yes, you know what, Terrence? I have essentially the equivalent of a big, you know, kind of studio apartment here. We live here at the beach, and I basically have no doors other than, and we have a bathroom, obviously. My son does have, he has a room, but other than that, everything is pretty open. And so I don't have, even though I have a little office, there's not a door on the office. And so I've pretty much found that one of my most comfortable places is just to go sit in my wonderful little leather Lazy Boy recliner and have my laptop on my lap, and I have my little lamp beside me and my little cup of Darjeeling.
I can't do that. I have a real desk, not a computer desk, a real big oak, huge. It's in the shape of an L. And so, and I have a huge computer too. I can't work on a laptop. I cannot write on a laptop. Can't do it. And so you and I come at this very different. Mm-hmm. And obviously for you, you can't hang a do not disturb sign on your office door, but you have an 11-year-old son.
That's right.
And you know, they just don't get that. So how do you deal with your space issues and your distraction issues then, I guess, if, you know? Because you can't just go. I know a lot of people say they go to the park or the library or a cafe that has wireless or something, and then they work there.
Yeah, that's not really what I do. In fact, I've kind of learned that I can actually tune out. If my son's in, you know, if we're sitting in the den and he's on the couch and he's watching something on TV, mostly it's just Netflix anyway. But if he's watching something on TV, I've pretty much learned to tune it out. I think I have the biggest trouble with, like, Disney Channel shows because they have so many loud little, you know, bumper music type things, and it's really obnoxious. But other than that, with most things that he watches, you know, the volume level's pretty steady. And so it's like I've almost trained my brain to just not pay a whole lot of attention to it. I don't like it if he has it up really loud if I'm trying to write, but, you know, it's fine. So I sit there, but I also have learned that that even if he's not watching TV, I work really well with some background noise. So I'll use a couple of websites. One of the websites that I love is rainymood.com. And rainymood.com just basically is nothing but a storm. You're listening to a wonderful rain and thunderstorm. It's not, you know, loud, cracking thunder, but it's just a really, really nice storm.
There's so that doesn't make you sleepy or make you want to curl up with a book and read instead or take a nap.
I love storms. I mean, if it's raining outside when I wake up in the morning, I sure want to stay in bed. But, no, that's one thing I like. Now, another thing, and I only recently found out about this from one of my fellow Twitter Writing Challenge participants, is a website called Coffitivity. Which is basically a website that has different audio that you can choose which one you want, but they're sounds from cafes around the world. And so it's sort of the little din, the little, you know, plates clicking together, little mumbling conversations, but you can't really make out anything. It's just sort of as if you were sitting in a cafe, you know, in the corner of a cafe and just sort of listening to the ambient
noise
around
you. Now, what is it about a cafe that people want to go and write there? I don't get that. Or they want to hear the sounds of a cafe. I just have to wonder.
I think that what it is, really, is, you know, if it was a restaurant, you would have to contend with the smells of the food. That's a huge distraction. You know, if you have big plates of, you know, steak or lasagna or who knows what, you know, coming by and being served, onions, fajitas, what, you know, that's distracting. Not to mention waiters and waitresses at restaurants aren't going to be really crazy about you sitting there taking up a table when they can be earning a tip. The thing about a cafe is you can get a cup of coffee, you can get a cup of tea, you can sit and you can write. And you can write for hours. And then if you're going to stay, the courteous thing is to go buy another drink. You know what I mean? Go buy a latte.
But do you think it's a comforting thing, the sounds of a cafe? Because I'm just trying to figure out how that – does that help spark the creativity or
– I wrote the whole first draft of Smuggler's Gambit, and I didn't have that website. So, I mean, but it's just one of those things. It's sort of like – it sort of functions in a similar way to white noise if you're trying to go to sleep. And apparently, I did not know this until I visited the website, but apparently there have been scientific studies that have shown that somehow it can actually improve your productivity if there is just a certain level of noise that you hear. That, you know, it's not noise.
Oh, I believe that. I have a fan in my office with three settings on it. And I always have it on at least the lowest setting. And if there's something going on, whether, you know, it's yard men out at the neighbor's house or whatever might be going on, I just turn the fan up. But I have to have that noise. It's like a metronome.
Right.
You know, where it's just a consistent something that kind of, and that's part of my routine where I come in the office, close the door, turn the fan on, sit at the big desk, and it's like, okay, this is real. You know, we're here to do this. So that for me, absolutely. But we should talk about your family, though, of getting them on board, because you're going to need their cooperation, even with kids.
That's right.
And so before, I know it's amazing to me, before we start each recording, you always tell your son.
I do.
That you're about to do the show, and if he could keep quiet, and he's amazingly good.
He's a good boy. He's really good. I worry more about my 25-year-old brother who happens to be home visiting at the moment, because he'll come in and he's a clown. He's a total clown, and he won't care that I've got headphones on and I'm recording a podcast, you know. Uh-huh. But nevertheless, yes, my son, you know, he's at the age now, you know, when he was 7, 8, 6, it might have been a little different, but he's 11 now. He understands. If I ask him, you know, hey, you know, Isaac, I need some time. I need you to just be quiet for a while if you can. Give me 30 minutes, give me an hour. And he's usually happy to comply. Thankfully, as I said, he does have his room. He can go in there and shut the door. Or he can just sit and read. He loves to read. You know, there's plenty of things he can do that are quiet activities. And sometimes when I'm in the house and, you know, I'm not even recording a podcast, but I'm writing, and I just really, if I'm having a hard time focusing, if I'm having a hard time concentrating, especially, let's say there might be 2 or 3 paragraphs in a chapter that I'm working on revising, and I'm just having the worst time figuring out how to word those in a way that sounds good. And, you know, I'll need it to be pretty quiet. You know, I'll need it to be pretty quiet other than maybe that background noise we were talking about. And if I ask him, you know, I'll say, Isaac, do you mind giving me a little while so I can just get this written, you know, just be quiet for a little while, let me do this, and he'll usually go along with it.
Maybe if your kids are old enough, mm-hmm. just tell them, explain to them, this is the time, this is the hour or two, whatever, that you're going to be doing this. And if they're not old enough, maybe if you have a grandparent or a spouse.
That's right.
That can help you. At that stage, but you need to get everybody on board and say, this is my time, I've got to do this now, and like you said, a little routine helps.
That's right.
Even for you writing in your lazy boy, I'm hearing you talk about you're setting up the music, you're getting your cup of tea, you're getting, you know, you have a little routine.
I do. I definitely have a routine. I sort of know that at night, because I'm more of a night writer, you know, I don't write as well early in the day. Sometimes if I have to do it, I'll do it, but I typically do better at night. So I'll go in there and sit at night, and my son will usually be watching TV, and I'll just tune everything out, and I'll do my writing or do my editing right there. And it's comforting because, you know, I know that that's my routine, and I have made it a routine. I do it every day. I rarely take a day off, and I have to thank the Twitter Writing Challenge for that. I developed that habit back in July. If people want to learn more about that, they can go to writingchallenge.org. But I have to thank the Writing Challenge for that, because that's what really started getting me in the habit of just doing it, touching my work every day. If I, you know, whether I'm writing, whether I'm just brainstorming, whether I'm scribbling some notes in the composition book about it, whether I'm thinking about revisions or what have you, every day I'm doing something.
So that's what
the project's moving forward.
That's a tip that you have then of dealing with distractions, is to make sure this is part of your daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
That this is something you're going to accomplish every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be something
And if you have to get up earlier than anybody in your house, you know, whether it's your spouse or your kids, if you have to stay up later than everybody else, do it. You can find time somewhere. Everybody can find time. And even if you're just writing 500 words a day, you know, even if you're moving your project forward, that's what you want to do.
Well, you're segueing into my next point nicely, Sarah.
Oh, good.
That is discovering your best creative time.
Mm-hmm.
You're less likely to be distracted, I think, if you're not looking for distractions. If this is the time, you know, that's good for you, I'm like you. I write better at night.
Mm-hmm.
Some writers, I've read a lot of stuff. Some writers get up and they write at 4 or 5 or 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine anybody wanting to read anything I wrote at that time of day.
No.
Gibberish. Be total gibberish. But the point for some writers is this is what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to find what works best for you. Hopefully you can do that. I know some people, we talked about this, you're limited by the time you might have to write when your kids are in school.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's not your best creative time, but you can learn to make it
mm-hmm.
your best creative time. Maybe you have to write after you've come home from work.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to write in the evening. So I don't know. Your best time's at night, too. What Is that like late at night or after dinner or when do you?
Yes, typically I fall asleep at the keyboard. That's when I know it's time to go to bed, literally, because I'll be typing and then my eyes will start falling closed on me, and next thing I know, I've hit the carriage return on about 20 lines, and I've just got a bunch of blank space on my screen, or a bunch of Z's, or something like that.
Well, look how committed you are. You're literally falling asleep at the typewriter.
I am.
Well, let me ask you this here, because I know some people say just take a few minutes here or there, and it'll add up. I can't do that. I have to have a block of time because once I get in the zone, I got to be there. I can't write but you've heard this, haven't you, where people grab 15 minutes or a half hour?
I have, and you know what? I have to admit today I did that, and I love the homeschool group we're a part of, but I hope they're not listening because they might not like me saying this, but today while my son was in the program he participates in, I stole several moments throughout the day today because I just had some really great ideas all of a sudden that were coming together on how I was going to handle some scene transitions I've been wondering about. So I was furiously scribbling, away in my composition book, and I'm sure it looked as though I was taking notes about my son and what because they have tutors while we're there doing this particular program, and it's a great, great program. But yeah, today I was just scribbling stuff about my novel, and I was, I got a couple of scenes written out in little spurts throughout the day because I couldn't just focus nonstop, but I had lots of little windows, and fortunately I was able to connect the dots well enough in that time. And then I got home, and I was fortunately able to take a good hour when I got home and made some pretty good progress. So,
good. Okay, let me talk about the last thing that I have to say, and I think you'll have quite a bit to say about this.
Okay.
The thing I say is that you need to employ a reward system.
Mm-hmm.
Bribe yourself if you need to. So if you achieve your daily goal, which I believe for Writer's Challenge, what is it, 500 words a day?
500 words a day of writing or 1 hour of editing.
Now, do you recommend people try to stick to that? You're real big on that, so.
I like the reason why I like Writing Challenge is not so much because I'm married to those numbers, but because I've seen how it works and just having the community of people on Twitter. Everyone, when you post your word count each day or you post your time that you've edited each day, you'll have all kinds of people who will, give you positive feedback, and you're encouraging other writers as well. So it's sort of just, it's basically like an online writing group that's not a critique group, but just something that sort of encourages one another to just stay on task and to keep moving the project forward.
There's an accountability.
Right, that's exactly right. Everyone else is doing it, and so it kind of helps you think, well, I can do this too. I can get those 500 words done tonight, and or I can get that, get an hour of editing in or something like that. So.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying. If you could just think, okay, if I get this done, then I'm going to reward myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can think of whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that would be where you could take your son and have an afternoon where you go see Ghostbusters.
Yep.
And eat candy, or maybe it's just you're going to give yourself an hour to read this book that you've been meaning to read for 2 months. Maybe it's a trip to the park with your dog, playing, whatever it is. But the flip side of this, Sarah, that I know you'll have things to say about, is that you also need to kind of think about not punishing yourself. That's a bad way to put it. But ways, I guess, to keep yourself from not being successful with this.
Yes.
And by this, I'm talking about distractions like social media.
Mm-hmm.
And this is hilarious to me because I'm terrible with social media.
Yes.
I'm just terrible.
Yes, that I do. And I love having this conversation with you because you don't know anything about
I don't know.
You know a ton about social media now compared to what you used to know. But as far as the addiction part, you don't. That's one thing that you are
it
just free of
not.
That addiction.
And I will tell you, Sarah has pushed me.
I'm the pusher. I'm the pusher.
She is, and she's got me. I swore I'd never be on Twitter, and here I am. But at the same time, I'm pretty bad about it. I'm not faithful. I'm not diligent. I don't feel compelled. I don't have OCD about it. And so when I was researching for this segment, I was shocked that there was all these resources out there to help people. There are apps that can block social media for a designated amount of time so that you won't be tempted to get on Facebook or Twitter or whatever during this time. And I could not even begin to imagine that anybody would need that. So,
well, Terrence, I had okay. You will get a laugh out of this. When we talked about doing this podcast about a week ago, I told you I was like, "Well, I need to put some thought into it before we do the do these two podcasts that we're going to be recording, and the distractions and everything." I was thinking, "Yeah, I need to put some thought into that." And I was thinking in the back of my mind, I need to get a grip on my own distractions before I do this podcast. So earlier this week, I deactivated my Facebook, and the reason why.
Oh, does that mean I get to?
If you want to, go right ahead. But
told me I couldn't.
Well, you're using yours as for the purposes of building a platform. And for me, my Facebook was strictly personal. You know, I mean, I don't really use it for anything personal. I mean, you're crazy if you really use Facebook for anything personal, because that's a whole other episode.
But what you were finding that you were losing track of time, obviously.
Well, this is what I was finding. You know, I got off Facebook about 3 years ago, and I did not get back on Facebook. I mean, I completely deleted my account, and I did not get back on Facebook until June of this year. But here it is, October, you know, early this month, and I'm using the site like an addict. You know, I've got the stupid app on my mobile phone, and I feel compelled to check it constantly. I've got so many friends and family members that are always messaging me, or
and apparently you can make it your homepage.
Well, you can. I've never done that. I mean, but
a lot of people do that apparently.
Yeah,
so that means people are on it a lot.
They are, and I mean, but for me, it was something that I would have it. I would feel compelled to have it open in the background on my browser. And because when I'm writing and I'm writing historical fiction, I do a lot of research while I'm writing. I might look up a word, for instance, at Merriam-Webster.com to make sure that it was actually in use at the time that the novel takes place, because I don't want to use words that are, you know, not historically accurate. But I would have Facebook open in the background. And, of course, you know, anytime one of my friends or family members post me a status or sent me a message, it would make a little sound that would let me know, and I would feel right then like I've got to respond. And somehow it's like you feel like for some of us, we feel like we're letting people down if we're not, you know, Johnny on the spot to respond when people post us something or whatever. And it's ridiculous, really. I mean, it's like slavery, you know, to the device. And so I just said, you know what, this is crazy. I'm getting way too addicted to Facebook again, and I don't like that. I mean, I don't really post anything of consequence to it, but, you know, I have so many conversations with people on there and whatnot. So I said, I'm going to deactivate my Facebook until I have the revisions done for my novel. That's it. And I didn't, you know, outright say to everyone that was why I was deactivating. I just said I had some projects that I wanted to complete, and so I needed to, you know, remove some distractions. And so I think everyone understood. And so it gives me some incentive. I know that when Facebook's not a huge motivator for me. Frankly, I would be fine if I never went back on Facebook again, because I did great with it, without it for 3 years. But when I do finish my revisions, I'll feel a little bit okay about going back on if I choose to, and, you know, re-engaging on that site. But as it is, yeah, I just had to do that, because I'm not going to be using some app that, you know, can block your social media for a certain amount of time, or, you know, block your internet for a certain amount of time, because to me that's silly. I mean, I'm a techie. If I wanted to disable it, I could disable it. You know, that's not... You know, you got to have some self-control. That's how I feel. You know, if you know that there are certain things that are getting in the way of your writing, you need to, you know, wrestle with that within yourself, I think. And you really need to, you know, overcome.
But there are
things.
Resources out there if
there
someone
are,
wants
if you
to
need
utilize
to.
Them. I want to tell you about one that I came across that I love.
Okay.
It's called writeorty.com. WriteOrdie. Writeorty.com. You decide the length of time.
I think that means writeorty.com.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there we go.
That's okay. Sometimes with these web addresses, yeah.
I was just spelling it out, not even, yeah, good catch, Sarah. Okay, well, don't I feel silly now. Okay, well, anyway, you decide the length of time that you're going to write. Like, say it's going to be an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide the level of punishment if you don't achieve the goal. Now, here's why I just love this, because you have a range of reminders that you can select. The first one's a gentle reminder, and that just brings you little pop-up reminder boxes hey, you're supposed to be writing kind of thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Then you've got the normal setting, and that's where it makes all these irritating sounds until you start typing again. And then this is the one I love. It's called kamikaze. And what you wrote actually disappears until you start writing again.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So write or die.
Do people use this app?
Apparently. Like I said, this is all just, to me, amazing. Because of all the things that could distract me, social media would be below death. Distractions for me. So I just thought that was just, but there's a lot of resources out there to help people combat their compulsion to get onto social media, so you're not alone. And I guess they're trying to say you don't have to go to the extreme that you did where you just, you know, jump ship, but you just, you know, block out this time where you're not going to be able to access it so that you, you know, won't have it as a distraction. So all of these things that we're talking about are really just about helping you to get down to the task of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a real distraction, you know, like work or your child calling you or something, or it can be a distraction that you've created.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is not a mandatory distraction.
That's right.
So that's something you've created. For me, sometimes when I've hit a point in the book, whether it's writing or revisions, whatever it is, I can start looking around and saying, I really need to clean this closet out. These gutters need to be clean. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You can invent distractions. So this is all about just putting you in the right place physically and mentally, so to set yourself up for the most chance of success. And so that's what this is about. So that's my and also I do believe Feng Shui has a part, and you and I can argue that another time. But I will just say my quote of the day is by Napoleon Hill, and it is, a goal is a dream with a deadline.
Okay, well, that's a good quote.
I thought so.
That's a good quote. I do want to add, though, after your quote, just a thought. You told me back when I was in the, you know, feverish writing of my first draft of the novel, that there would come a time where I would hit the wall. And I know we talked about doing an episode about hitting the wall. But I do want to draw a distinction between times when you really should take a break and true distractions, you know, because you can be mentally or emotionally distracted from your writing because maybe there's something heavy going on in your life. Those are times it's perfectly reasonable to just put it on hold, you know, unless that fuels you, unless that, you know, inspires you to help.
Like last week you were working on deadline and it just wasn't feasible for
you. That's right.
It
wasn't. And I mean, but sometimes there might be something going on, you know, maybe there's a family member who's ill, maybe, you know, there's something else that's stressing you out, you know, a whole lot, and you just can't.
Getting himself back to school.
That's right. Just all different kinds of things. And so sometimes you just have to just put it aside for a few days, maybe a few weeks, but then come back to it. That's not the same thing as what you were talking about hitting the walls, and or even finishing a draft and then needing to take a break before you start editing or revising. Just because you've put hold on your writing project, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that because you're doing other things, you're distracted, and that's keeping you from writing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to take a break. You need to give your brain a chance to recharge your creativity. You need to get those batteries refreshed so you can jump back in and give it your all.
And it's hard to know when that is. So having other people around you, like a writing group or a writing challenge or whatever it might be, is helpful for that, because when you and I spoke about this, if you don't mind me saying, you had just literally just given everything you had to get the book finished.
Uh-huh.
And you were just at a very excited place.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you mind a little advice? And I said, if you'll just step back
that's right.
at this point and just let your mind, you know, let your mind rest.
That's right.
And give yourself some distance. You'll be amazed at how fresh you'll come back this on. And I could just hear it in your voice when you were like, yeah, okay, whatever. But you know now what I meant.
Mm-hmm, I do.
So sometimes if you can listen to some other people, too, because your perspective, when you're in the middle of a book, you have no perspective. I don't care what anybody tells you. You just don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's your world. And so sometimes it's good just to take a beat. And like you said, that's different.
Right.
From distractions or things like anything else. That's,
right.
That's
so
perfectly
that's
acceptable.
Me. That's, this is just me wanting to give you, writer who is listening to this podcast right now, I just want to give you permission, you know, that it is appropriate at times in your project to stop and take a break and work on something else for a while, or don't work on anything for a while, you know. But, you know, give yourself a chance to recharge, and then come back to it. That's not the same thing as being distracted. So don't start beating yourself up just because you're taking a break, because you're completely creatively tapped out for a time being. So, that said, I think we've done a pretty good job of covering distractions. And if you have any, other distractions that you find that you deal with, you know, what would be really cool is if you left a comment about it on the podcast page on either of our websites. You can hear the websites at my website, which is sarahwhitford.com. That's sarawhitford.com. Terrence's website is terrencezepke.com. That's terrencezepke.com. You can also subscribe on iTunes. But, you know, with any of these podcast episodes, we'd love to read your comments, to see what you have to say, if you have something else you'd like to add. There might be someone else out there who's thinking the same thing as you. So thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again real soon. Thanks.